I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Welcome back, everyone. Final segment today. Great to be with you, as always. Really interesting, as we kind of wind down our 2020 and we look back at a number of things that took place. Of course, the presidential election was a significant piece of the puzzle. And so often we hear the term them, the other side, the opposition, the left, the right, the far left, the far right, the liberal, the conservative. And it's always about them. There is some great research out today from Pew Research Center. They always do a great job. Our good friend Mike Dimmick, who heads that organization, has been involved in a number of events with us. And the research that they put out today, in the wake of obviously a very bitterly contested presidential election, that the divide is there in ways, but in interesting ways, in ways we don't necessarily think. So in terms of uniting the country, yeah, President-elect Joe Biden's going to have his hands full. There is going to be a test there, formidable task to be sure. But the interesting thing to me is the Pew Research Center went after this from the standpoint of what is it that the other side doesn't get about you? Great questioning. Polling is so fascinating. It's only fascinating, though, when you have pollsters who ask the right kinds of questions. I'm never interested so much in the horse race or, you know, who's going to win this or by how many points. I want to know, what are people thinking and why are they thinking that? How do we get into that conversation? So there's a number of things that came out of this conversation. Again, talking about them, talking about those with opposing points of view to yours or opposing political parties. And what does that mean? The really interesting thing to me is that neither side thinks the other side understands them at all. In fact, only 2% of Biden voters and an equally small number of Trump voters say those who voted for the other candidate understand them very well. So it's different to be against someone. It's another thing to say, no, they just don't even understand me at all. And so then Pew opened it up in terms of, okay, if they don't understand you, what would you like them to know? And some of the interesting things that came out, both sides actually want unity. Both sides want to stop painting the other side with negative stereotypes. And so learning to step back there. They want to understand that there are shared values that cross political party lines and have nothing to do with political parties. The criticizing, the backbiting, we started the show with it today. Stunning to me that on a day when a deal is done, neither side could have the restraint to just say, we got a deal done. Both sides had to take shots at each other for it being too slow or too big or not enough of this or too much of that. And no wonder, no wonder we talk about it in terms of them. Many of you may remember a few months ago, I played part of an interview I did with Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who actually wrote a book called Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. And I think what the Pew Research Center statistics are showing us is that, yes, both sides are looking at them, the other side, but both sides have a desire to be understood. And I think that is one of the most human of emotions, is that longing, that desire to be understood, to be heard and to be understood, I think are some of the most important things, whether that's in a marriage, whether that's in a business relationship, whether that's in a community, whatever it may be, people want to be heard and they want to be understood. Now, fascinating thing, again, looking at the research that came out today from Pew Research Center, is that even when you get people to say, okay, well, I wish the other side understood me better. And then when asked, what would you like to say to the other side?
And one of those that was really interesting was about 1 in 10, 12% of the Biden voters and about 11% of the Trump voters used this opportunity to say, hey, what do you hope the other side understands about you? And so here's a piece. This is from a man in his 30s who is a Democrat who voted for Joe Biden. And what he wants them, the Republicans, to understand is this. He said, I'm a gun owner. And I can do stuff with my hands. He said, Democrats are not all the stereotype of what they hold of us, but they're wrong in what they believe about this country. Another 30-year-old man who voted for President Trump, he wanted the other side, he wanted them to know that Trump supporters aren't racists and bigots. Supporting Trump is more about the movement and ideas than the man. Very interesting. So both sides really wanted to be understood better. Some focused on the common ground, unity, including about 13% of the Biden voters. They offered a perspective that Biden and Trump supporters are more alike than they are different, and expressed a need for both groups to recognize each as Americans. A Joe Biden voter, man in his 60s, said, even though we're all individuals, we must work as a community. It must be for the greater good. We need to help and protect those in need. We need less my way or the highway thinking. A woman in her 60s who voted for President Trump said, I'm an ordinary citizen, just like the Democrats, working hard every day to pay bills and make a positive contribution to sustain and grow jobs in the United States. And this woman, again, a woman in her 60s who voted for Trump, said, I care about you and want us to openly communicate and be the answer, not the problem. This research is just fascinating to me, and we'll post this on our Facebook page today. I encourage you to go check it out, because so often we do get locked in them kinds of discussions, us versus them. It's we, it's them. It's my tribe, not yours, and all the things that stereotype, that label, and that prevent us from having crucial conversations. Pew Research Center's done a fabulous job in getting not just to some statistics, but to some great open-ended questions where each side got to say, hey, I wish the Republicans would understand this about me. And the Democrats could say, I wish they understood this about me. And vice versa. And that's the whole key. We're not that divided as a country, folks. There's great opportunity ahead if we change the game and we change the narrative. It was Thomas Jefferson who said that a difference of opinion is not what it's a difference of policy. And that's the key. I'm Boyd Matheson, opinion editor of the Deseret News. Thanks for joining us on Inside Sources today. And as always, as you go out into the world today, make sure you see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something that makes a difference.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.